Translation. In the age of Satya, truthfulness, your four legs were established by the four principles of austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. But it appears that three of your legs are broken due to rampant irreligion in the form of pride, lust for women, and intoxication. But fourth, the deluding energy of material nature can act upon the living beings proportionately in terms of the living beings falling prey to the deluding attraction of Maya. Moths are captivated by glaring brightness of light, and thus they become prey to the fire. Similarly, deluding energy is always captivating the conditioned souls to become prey to the fire of delusion. And the Vedic scriptures warn the conditioned souls not to become prey to delusion, but to get rid of it. The Vedas warn us to go not to the darkness of ignorance, but to the progressive path of light. The Lord himself also warns that deluding power or material energy is too powerful to overcome. But one who completely surrenders unto the Lord can easily do so. But to surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord is also not very easy. Such surrender is possible by persons of austerity, cleanliness, mercy, truthfulness. These four principles of advanced civilization were remarkable features in the age of Satya. In that age, every human being was practically qualified Brahmana of the highest order. And in the social orders of life, they were all Paramahamsas, or the topmost in renounced order. By cultural standing, the human beings were not at all subjected to the deluding energy. Such strong men of character were competent enough to get away from the clutches of Maya. But gradually, as the basic principles of Brahmanical culture, namely austerity, cleanliness, mercy, truthfulness, becomes curtailed by proportional development of pride, attachment for women, and intoxication, the path of salvation or the path of transcendental bliss retreated far, far away from human society. With the progressive age of Kali, people are becoming very proud and attached to women and intoxication. By the influence of the age of Kali, even a pauper is proud of his penny. The women are always dressed in an overly attractive fashion to victimize the minds of men. And the man is addicted to drinking wine, smoking, drinking tea, chewing tobacco, etc. All these habits, or so-called advancement of civilization, are the root causes of all irreligiosities. Is that properly spelled? And therefore, it's not possible to check corruption, bribery, and nepotism. What is nepotism? Okay, it doesn't matter. Most of us are not British. Man cannot check all these evils simply by statutory means like legal or something. Yeah, okay. And by statutory acts and police vigilance. But he can cure the disease of the mind by the proper medicine, namely advocating the principles of Brahmanical culture or the principles of austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. So many times Prabhupada mentioned those, so many times. Modern civilization and economic development are creating a new situation of poverty and scarcity with the result of blackmailing the consumers' commodities. If the leaders and the rich men of the society spend 50% of their accumulated wealth mercifully for the knowledge of Bhagavatam, certainly the age of Kali will be defeated in its attempts to entrap the conditioned souls. We must always remember that false pride, or too high estimation of one's values of life, undue attachment to women or association with them, and intoxication will divert human civilization. Again, constantly from the path of peace. However much the people clamor for peace in the world, The preaching of the Bhagavatam principles will automatically render all men austere, clean, both inside and outside, merciful to the suffering, and truthful in daily behavior. That is the way of correcting the flaws of human society, which are very prominently exhibited at the present moment. Okay, once more translation. In the age of Satya truthfulness, your four legs were established by the four principles of austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. But it appears that three of your legs are broken due to rampant irreligion in the form of pride, lust for women, and intoxication. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay, so many important points. But Prabhupada stresses, as I mentioned, four relative principles at least 5-6 times throughout the purport. And in verse itself also. Say, in the age of Satya truthfulness, your four legs were established by the four principles of austerity, cleanliness, mercy, truthfulness. So interesting that age of Satya Yuga means age of truthfulness. That means, and then what leg is remaining in this Kali Yuga? Truthfulness. Interesting that this was full truthfulness. Yeah. This is last leg of Kali. He left. Satya means truthfulness actually also. Yeah. But it appears that the three of your legs are broken to the rampant religion in the form of pride. Again, lust for women, intoxication, which are broken actually in Kali Yuga, these three. That means pride, lust, or illicit sex, whatever, which is gross manifestation, and intoxication. Interesting that these three, especially pride and lust for women, intoxication, are kind of qualities of kshatriyas. Not Rajarsis, of course, saintly kings, but in general, Kshatriyas were prone to that, especially pride. And then how is that this pride actually is one thing, item, which pulled Satya Yuga to Treta Yuga, this pride. Because due to pride, I mentioned a few classes ago, due to pride, you cannot perform austerities, which are main item of Satya Yuga. So first pride, and then, of course, the rest of it also. Then uncleanliness destroyed by illicit sex, austerity by intoxication, and also by pride. So that means austerity is intoxication, destroys austerity and pride as well. And mercy, slaughter of animals, truthfulness by gambling, and so forth. So the deluding energy of material nature can act upon the living beings proportionately in terms of the living beings falling prey to the deluding attractional mind. Very interesting thing in Purport Prabhupada said. That means we can be influenced by Maya only in the degree of falling a prey to her allurements. See? So Maya doesn't push anyone anywhere. Doesn't force you to anything. She just throws allurements and just observe what you're going to do. Like Mots, Prabhupada mentioned in the verse, they're so attracted to glaring fire. It's so irresistible. You know, you can see that when there's some bright light, any insect flying straight to the bulb and they die through the heat of bulb or fire. So that's for us. We have some anticipation of enjoyment, some pricking inside. For us, some hope for fulfillment comes, which is so irresistible, comes out. So we have all experience of that. You know something is, will not fulfill you, you had experience, but something pricking you inside, gives you restlessness. to go for it. It's all in the hope of happiness. This desire to be fulfilled completely. Only by many, many failures in our attempts, somehow we start to sober. You know, it's not going to happen. Maybe some relief you'll get. But ultimately, it's just misery and entanglement. But due to addiction to that small, whatever it is, satisfaction, you just can't give up. So how not to be allured by Maya? This is our only problem. How not to be allured by Maya and do what we are supposed to do, not what senses tells us. Because scripture tells us the truth. It's like a map. How to get rid of delusion in this material world is like a map, like a manual of this material world, material existence. So we cannot rely on our judgment. So many people said, my guts tell me, my mind tells me, or my feeling tells me, you know, what's right, what's wrong. That's all mind. It could be, of course, you know, we have sense of justice, but most of the time is, you know. Finally, we rely on our own mind. It means feeling and guts, whatever is mind. So that's actually our only trouble, always stress on every class, it's the mind. To be on Manor Athena platform, the chariot of the mind, there's only problem. Any obstacles you can think of, any problem, anything, is on Manor Athena. Anything we think is difficult for us, is all chariot of the mind. See? Because of attraction, they are very strong attraction. We have our own estimation of things, and then we are pushings from inside. We go for it. We always experience battling inside attractions. But all our fears, all our anxieties, all our hopes, everything is Manor Athena again. And so Vedas mapping the entire existence of every living entity's material world. They told us, point exactly where we are. It's a point like a GPS. It's just like, you are here. And then points you direction where to go. Of course, GPS sometimes misdirects people. There's a case, it's severe. Recently, I just saw in Russia somewhere, in Siberia, just beginning of autumn, but still was already cold, snow. Two boys, 18, 20, from some party in some town. They're driving back, but it's a long dirt drive. There's a road which goes kind of around like this. But there's a shortcut, very old road, which was not in use for years, not maintained. And he's warning there, don't go this way. But they were thinking to make shortcut. And they drove there through, and then it was cold, freezing, Siberia. And at the middle of the way, somewhere, car, just due to cold, car just stopped. That's it. 3 days I spent there. One died. After 3 days wandering, one survived. They somehow succeed to pull one tire from the car and burn to get heat. Only one, he couldn't. But another one was semi-conscious. All his legs were frozen completely, and he's too amputated. Another died. They were not even dressed properly. So the GPS sometimes misdirects you. But Vedas are not like this. See. The Vedas warn us not to go to the darkness of ignorance, but to the progressive path of light. All our schemes, whatever ideas, without accepting Vedic injunctions, they cannot skip material energy, no way. You cannot skip by this. What's it? Mama Maya Duratyaya, Mamaya Prapadyante, Maya Metam Tarantite. If we surrender. Tarantite. But to surrender, Prabhupada said, unto the lotus feet of the Lord is also not very easy. Not so easy. It would be easy just to surrender, to skip all troubles. Prabhupada said, such surrender is possible for a person by austerity, cleanliness, mercy, truthfulness is our best before regulative principles, which are blossoming in Kali, in Satya Yuga completely, in full. In that age, every human being was practically qualified Brahmana of the highest order, and in the spiritual orders of life, they were all Paramahamsas, or topmost in the surrender order. By cultural standing, the human beings were not at all subjected to the deluding energy. Such strong men of character were competent enough to get away from the clutches of Maya. So how degradation happens? Prabhupada said they were not at all being subjected to deluding energy to break those forms of force. So how is possible then that they degraded to next yuga down due to pride? That's interesting, you see. But gradually, as the basic principles of Brahmanical culture, namely austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness, again, four eggs, became curtailed by the proportional development of pride, attachment for woman, and intoxication. These are again four eggs. The path of salvation, or the path of transcendental bliss, retreated far, far away from society. So this is what destroys our bliss, breaking those four. Destroys our bliss. In Kali Yuga is full blast. There is no bliss in Kali Yuga at all. See? What means bliss, by the way, anyway? What is bliss?
Love.
It's kind of like distant. There's anything more closer. Bliss. Huh? Intense happiness, yeah. It's intense happiness. Come on, shout. Joy is something much more thicker. Yeah, it goes there. Oh, ecstasy, oh, it's a famous word. Reminds me of so many things.
In the material sense, it's the absence of suffering.
Yeah. Absence of suffering, just kind of neutral state is like lukewarm. It's more or less very intense. I mean, only you can think of, anyway, thanks for ecstasy word, but you just unbound happiness, you just oozing, you just, you're flying, you, I mean, it's hard to describe, but bliss should be. So what is that bliss in spiritual life? You just melt. I don't know. So there is no such a thing in Kali Yuga, unless you take ecstasy. I never tried that one, but they said you're in ecstasy. Don't know. I never seen anyone in ecstasy. Okay. Even devotees said, "Where is the bliss?" Everybody actually asked, "Where is the bliss? Where is the bliss?" Karmis. Devotees also, Prabhu, where is that bliss? Where is the bliss in Krishna consciousness? Where is the bliss? They're gonna come at some point. Man cannot check all this evil simply by statutory acts and police vigilance, but can cure the disease of the mind by the proper medicine, namely advocating the principles of Brahmanical culture or the principles of austerity, kindness, mercy, truthfulness. Again, so many times, 4x. If the leaders of the rich men of the society spend 50% of their accumulated wealth mercifully for the misled mass of people and educate them in God consciousness, knowledge of Bhagavatam, certainly the age of Kali will be defeated in attempts to entrap the conditioned souls. So, what means they, if they spend 50% of their, whatever, of their accumulated wealth? How and on what specifically? That's interesting, Prabhupada said. If they spend, if society, whatever, rich men spend 50% for propagating Bhagavatam, or what they said exactly, for the knowledge of Bhagavatam, we can curtail the Kali. I mean, what means exactly they spend 50%? How? On which specific thing?
50% after all their ability to do.
Maybe get a mic, you know. you're sitting on.
That is 50% after all the bills have been paid.
After all.
After every expenditure has been paid, it's what's left over.
And then not specifically, okay, is it my 50%? How you spend on? That's what I'm kind of wondering. How we spend all 50% specifically? Or we just give to the temple?
Yes.
Yeah, you just give to the temple. Oh, they're going to buy rice and sugar. And, yes?
Well, Prabhupada had a, there's a one per, a disciple I met. He's very rich, actually. And he was in Hawaii. And he had lots of money to give to the temple. And what happened, he gave to the temple. Then the temple president ran off with it. Now, the thing is... Yeah. Prabhupada, and he noticed his depression.
Yeah.
You know, he was looking at this person, and he said, "What's wrong?" He says, "Well, Prabhupada, I gave some money to the temple, and now the temple president's gone off with it." And Prabhupada, actually, he didn't sympathize. He said, "It's your own fault.
Uh-oh.
You didn't know what you were doing.
Yeah.
You have to be very careful.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to understand that this is Krishna's money. It's not yours. You don't just sort of lop it over. You have to use your intelligence." So he got a chastisement.
Good, you know?
Sorry?
He had good intentions, but he didn't know how
to do it. No, he had good intentions.
Yeah.
And it's a road to hell, actually, isn't it? You know,
it's escape.
You know, and you have so many people do this, is the in the bliss of the early Krishna consciousness. They're not really thinking, they're thinking they're doing good, but they have to be very careful on where they put their money, where it's needed, certainly. So,
it's always worth it. You had the trust in this person, and he misused, so...
Yeah, yeah, no, but also you have to be in a place for a certain time to get to know people and what their needs are. You know, you really, it's just one of those things. Yeah. If you have any money at all, it has to be done with intelligence and observation of what's happening.
Yeah.
It's not just...
Sometimes fails. We have this experience. You know the person is trustworthy. You know, he's good standing.
Yeah.
And you give, and his mind changes. Many times happen.
Shiva Ram Swami told me when I first came here.
Yeah.
He said, "You have to remember whatever you've got put by. You have to remember for your old age. Somehow we can't help you actually in old age. Generally," he says. So any devotee. You know, wherever position he's in, whether in the temple, if he has money, he should consider these things, because you can't depend on the situation. So you must set aside, you know, like it says.
Yeah, but this is completely different track now.
Yeah, you've got to be intelligent.
Yeah.
How
the Prophet Bhagavatam, that was my initial. Anyway. Prabhupada said, we must always remember the false pride or too high estimation of one's values of life, undue attachment to women, association with them, and intoxication, again, will divert human civilization from the path of peace. However much people clamor for peace in the world, see, this will remove the peace, again, four regulatory principles. The preaching of Bhagavatam principles will automatically render all men austere, clean, both inside and outside, merciful to the suffering, truthful and in daily behavior. Again, four regulative principles. That is the way of correcting the flaws of human society, which are prominently exhibited at present moment. So how one preaches Srimad Bhagavatam? There's another one. What do we stress to bring people to adopt these principles when we preach? Prabhupada said, unless they take this, How do we preach? Make them to adopt principles. Yeah? Yeah, yeah, of course. What else you can do? You know?
We show the meaningful relation of it to our lives.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like the principle that Srila Prabhupada, he was given this instruction that if he has money, print books. So if we follow that instruction, yeah. Or Srila Prabhupada, in fulfilling that instruction to his spiritual master, which is to print books, and how we can... he was given the instruction, if you have money, yeah. Then print books. And for us, I think the most practical way of distributing the Bhagavatam is giving the Lakshmi to Satapa Prabhu, and so you can buy a Sankirtan van and all the facilities and things for book distribution.
So everybody in the planet who hears this, Satapa is here, Bhaktivedanta Manor.
He has a PayPal account.
By the way, we are not the only temple. Yeah. Yeah, you have to just, you know, give and give and give. You know, there's so many. It's, oh, that's easy. Preach Srimad Bhagavatam. Piece of cake. Only 18,000 verses. Just apply them. That's how it's so simple. Yeah. Interesting that Krishna over there, he gave to Brahma only 4 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. So 18,000 is made by Vyasadeva. Interesting. So I'm just wondering, yeah, this, he gave him Vedas, but gave him specifically those 4 verses of Bhagavatam. How that goes? Or that's all that he gave him? 4 verses. Only Chaturshlaki gave him. Nothing else. What about other Vedas, 4 Vedas? Or he made those Vedas, Brahma or. But from Krishna only got 4 verses, Chaturshlaki. Okay, that means code of Srimad Bhagavatam is in Chaturshlaki. Let's see what is Chaturshlaki here. So we have to break the code of Srimad Bhagavatam in 10 minutes. 18,000 verses. In second canto, all our Chaturshlokis are lined up one by after one. Okay. 4 original verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. First, Brahma asks, what are the original forms of the Lord in matter and in transcendence? This is the question Brahma asks. What are the form of the Lord in the matter and in transcendence? So this is what is Srimad Bhagavatam. This is what is Srimad Bhagavatam in 4 verses. And answer is Brahma, it is me, it is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before the creation, when there was nothing but myself, nor was there the material nature, the cause of this creation. That which you see now is also I, the personality of Godhead. And after annihilation, what remains will also be I, the personality of Godhead. So what is the original form of the Lord? He said, this is only I, which you see. Before creation, during existence, after annihilation, is only I which exists. That's the first. Second question was, how the Lord's energies are working? If you understand this 4 Chaturshloki, you have essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. And translation, so how Lord's energies are working? O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. Know it as my illusory energy that reflects that reflection which appears to be in darkness. So, how your energies are working, whatever appears to be of any value, anything of, if it's not in connection with me, that's illusory energy. If you connect everything with me, then that's I. And the third question, how does the Lord play with his energies? In translation, oh Brahma, please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos at the same time they do not enter into cosmos. Similarly, I myself also exist within everything created, and at the same time, I'm outside of everything. See how your energies are working? I'm in, but I'm not in. Means my energies are working. In that sense, I'm in, but I'm not in. I have personal abode. And fourth, how Brahma may be instructed to discharge his duty. And that is how person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, must certainly search for it up to this. In all circumstances, in all time, and both directly and indirectly. This was like mystical verse, which took me many years to penetrate what it means. You must search up to this. Up to what? If you read all three shlokas again, up to this. That means I'm everything, my energies are working, I'm in, but I'm out also. Everything which is not connected with me is illusion. This is how it should work. Person who is searching after this, of the Supreme Personality, Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, must certainly search after this in all circumstances, in all spaces and time, both directly and indirectly. So this is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. When we speak about codes of Srimad Bhagavatam, how to follow the codes of Srimad Bhagavatam, its essence is here. It means describe the glories of the Lord, understand how his energies are working. Skipping notes, sorry. Purport again, more. The preaching of the Bhagavatam principle automatically render all men austere, both clean inside and outside, merciful, suffering to the suffering, and truthful in the behavior. That is the way of correcting the flaws of human society, which are very prominently exhibited by the present moment. It is not any knowledge, see, like, oh, I know all the pastimes, I know whatever. But Prabhupada said, knowledge is useless if it doesn't help you to solve your problems. Just knowledge. So many smart people, intelligent people. He said, if your knowledge doesn't help you to solve your problems, it's useless. That means knowledge. Use, not just have it knowledge, have it your intellect. And to be helped by those knowledge, you have to follow. In all circumstances, depend on me, Krishna says. Yeah. In all activities, just depend on me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. Satam is in this verse. Chetasa sarva karmani mai sanyasya matpara buddhi yogam pashitya machitak satatam bhava mi satatam. 24 hours a day. Prabhupada describes. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through your false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. So that's a principle of Srimad Bhagavatam. Accepting Shastra is training the mind to get used to accept. That's the point. Sometimes we wonder what we get every day. Like every day we hear, every day we read, and since my mind works in a practical way, how can I practically apply this to transform my consciousness, my behavior, my whatever? But how can I apply so many instructions? Like I compiled about 3 books like this, mostly instructions. Can I remember any of it? Even if I would remember by heart everything, I'd probably forget when I need it most. So the point of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is to be open, to come to the stage of Satatam, Nityam, Bhagavata Seva, constantly hearing. just by hearing. That's a purpose. Just therefore, just remind ourselves, just hear. Not separately try to transform ourselves, of course. So to have a faith in Shastra, it needs a special quality. Qualities also, Prabhupada said, it's very difficult to follow Shastric injunctions. See, your judgments, but anything which goes against Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, you have to discard. That's the thing. So our troubles are only not to be able to hear our intelligence, which is due to mind. That's it. Our mind is between. So more hearing brings more hearing. That's the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada said, propagate Srimad Bhagavatam, just more hearing, until you cannot resist anymore not to hear. That's the purpose. Constantly hearing. That's the purpose. Anyone has something to say? Because constant hearing stimulates thinking. That's only purpose. Hare Krishna.
I'll try a question related to the four verses. So if the Supreme Lord gave these four verses to Brahma and all the knowledge was contained within, and if I'm not mistaken, these four verses were later on spread as the four Vedas, right?
I know that Srimad Bhagavatam mentioned that this is ordinal Chatur Shloki is expanded to 18,000 verses by Brahma or by Vyasadeva? Brahma. Yes. So he's referring specifically to Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam has 18,000 verses. So Srila Vyasadeva made 18,000 verses. All the Vedas, this kind of, this Sutapa, you know, how is that? I asked already, but, did he give him four Vedas? Or he gave him just these four verses? And then, how is that?
I think it was one Veda eventually.
Therefore divided in four. That means all these Vedas are given in these four shlokas. That means only four shlokas. That means, Vishnu, whatever, Krishna, gave to Brahma only Srimad Bhagavatam verses. Only four Srimad Bhagavatam verses, which are, of course, I believe they are in some of the Vedas somewhere, those questions. Those verses you can find in other Vedas as well. It's interesting. Only four. That's it. Yeah.
When the commentators, they look at the four Chatushloki, then basically what they're showing is that if you look at the first two of those Chatushloki, they basically are dealing with Sambandha. Basically the energies of how the material world is created, how Maya is deluding the living entities, and how the Jiva is entangled within the illusion. The third of the Chatushloki is dealing with Prayojana. Because what it explains, if you look closely in the last bit of the verse, is it explains that beyond this world, the play of the Lord is going on, separate from this world. So actually, reality is beyond this illusory energy. And the fourth of the Chatushloki is talking about Abhideya, because it's saying you should search. You have to search everywhere where is possible for that Supreme Person. So if you look at Chatushloki, basically it's encompassing Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. And then if you look at every Vedic literature, whether it's the four Vedas, Vedanta Sutra, Bhagavatam, then basically every Vedic scripture in its entirety is dealing with Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana in different ways. So for example, if you take like Jiva Goswami's Satsandarbha, then I think the first
four are dealing, okay, I can't remember. I think first four are dealing with Sambandha, and then fifth one is Abhideya, and then sixth one is Prayojana. So like that, every single scripture is dealing with this. So in that sense, the Chatushloki is complete, because it encompasses Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. There's nothing else to know. However, every other Vedic scripture is simply expanding those three topics in different ways with reference to different aspects or pastimes or other things.
How Brahma got Chatushloki? Honestly, I don't know. Is it? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Brahma, yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so then how was it with the Brahma Samhita? When did that come in?
Brahma Samhita were fitting. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Brahma Samhita. Where this fits in. He was enlightened. Tapas. Yeah, yeah.
Same time, beginning of creation also.
Yeah, this is before he started creation. Yeah, yeah. But then, first go the Vedas. Yeah, I mean, First go the Vedas, and then. Okay, my head is spinning. Anyone else to make final touch to spin my head around?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for your class. I just have a question. You said knowledge is useless if it does not help you solve your problems. So is like astrology, could astrology be that?
Anything. I mean, astrology is part of the Vedas. It's also, for us, it's a mystifying process of some like, you know, it's not mystical, it's just, what is astrology? There are stars there, they align up. Because of my karma lines those planets there and I can read that. It's like a map of my karma. So I just look there and see, okay, that's my karma. So astrology, of course, any knowledge. We don't speak about just spiritual knowledge. We're speaking about any knowledge. It doesn't help you to solve your problems, improve your life, that is useless. It's just like accumulation of intellect. Yeah. Is that what you're asking? Yeah, any knowledge. But what's the use of knowledge if it doesn't help you? Maybe you can make some money out of it, I don't know. But it doesn't help you actually practically to solve your problems of life. So that's what points out. Yeah, any knowledge. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.